Developing the heart that is the open, receptive, spacious place of listening, attending to the different sensations of the body, the patterns of the world around us, the things that are heard and seen and smelt, tasted, touched, things that are liked, disliked, that are scarcely even noticed. As this quality of open, spacious awareness is developed, it can be sustained, supported by the quality of inner listening, making a habit, developing the attribute of listening to the inner sound, feeling this inner vibration, helps to sustain that recognition of the open space of the heart, the natural spaciousness of the citta. As Lumpur Sumedho would call it, this is the point which includes. The attention is one pointed in the present, but that attention includes everything. The inner world, the outer world. It's the space wherein which the perceptions of the world arise, take shape, dissolve. And we can use this inner spaciousness to explore the habits of attachment, identification. How easily the attitudes of I feel, I think, I'm practicing, my mind, my body, all those habits of identification, these can be explored and challenged using the practice of inquiry to question. What is it that's aware of this moment? What is it here that understands these words? What is it that knows the feelings of the body? Is it a what? Is it a thing? How is this? Once again, we're not using these kind of questions to try to come to some sort of intellectual definition, but rather to challenge the deeply rooted, heavily invested in attitudes of mind, the mind that creates time, things, identity, location. So the reflective inquiry can be used to challenge the sense of self, me, the agent, the experiencer, the doer, the decision maker, the one who is feeling, experiencing, acting. This is one area that can be explored, the habits of identification, I-making and mine-making. But also, this same inner spaciousness and the practice of inquiry can be used to challenge many other dimensions, many other mental habits and assumptions, preconceptions, preoccupations. Dhamma is timeless, akaliko, sanditiko, apparent here and now. So the perception of time is something that is very familiar, but heavily conditioned. As Lumpur Sumedho once put it, time is an illusion caused by ignorance. We can say, there's the clock time, 8:35 and 2 seconds, 3 seconds. But here is the ever-present reality. This present experience, here it is. The time is always this, now. The Pachupana Dhamma, the here and now reality. So, we can use this practice of reflective inquiry to explore those feelings of time, the perceptions of time passing, how the mind creates time and invests it with value, meaning, that isn't really there. Well, that can be challenged. What time is it? What do we mean by the word time? Again, not looking for philosophical answers, but bringing attention to that automatic view. Time is passing. Today is Saturday, January the 13th. This is the time, 8:36 and 24 seconds. Who says? What is time? We are opening up the habits of the mind, the conditioning of the mind, opening it up to explore what gives the idea of time substantiality. What's the effect of that? And if Dhamma is timeless, what does that say about cause and effect? If the ultimate reality is akaliko, timeless, how does cause and effect work? A past, a present, a future? Lumpo Cha would say that this quality of ultimate truth, the Dhamma itself, is outside of cause, above effect, nok het nirpon. Outside of cause and above effect. The patterns of cause and effect are shapes that take form in the material world, in the conditioned world. Is that which knows cause and effect, is that tied to it? This which is aware of causes and their effects, karma and its results, is it tied to those actions, those intentions? Is it tied to those results? Or does it know them? How does it work? If Dhamma is timeless, what does that do to our ideas of cause and effect, action and its result? What different perspective does that put upon things? In these ways we can explore so many different layers of assumption and conditioning, aspects of our experience that we give automatic value to, not just identity and time, cause and effect, but language. Why does a particular sound have a meaning? We make a noise with the mouth, sound, word, thing, amravati. These are just noises made by a human mouth. The mind gives them meaning. If we don't understand the language, they don't have a meaning. If we do understand the language, they do. And then the associations that those words have are conditioned by our memories, our emotions, the flow of our own experience. Language is a construct, it's conditioned, it's not unconditioned. But we can easily take words to have absolute meaning. So we can use this process of inquiry to challenge. Does meaning reside in a word? What is meaning? What does any word really say? Really? Again, we're not looking for a particular fixed result or a clever philosophical solution, but just noticing that opening of the heart that occurs when these automatic assumptions of our conditioned experience, when those assumptions are dropped, even if it's just for a moment, a second, half a second, just a little hesitation where the mind goes, oh, what is meaning? Oh, never thought of that. The experience of being located in a place. I am sitting here. This is Hertfordshire, Amravati Temple. I am looking to the east. Three-dimensional space is only connected to Rupa Khanda, the world of material form. The Nama Khandas, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, they don't really have any connection with the three-dimensional world. Mind has no connection to the world of material form. Mind is completely non-material, has no weight, no substance, no form. It's unlocated. So we can explore those habits of me being here. World is experienced here. Look at that feeling of here-ness, locatedness. Again, just to challenge that. How can non-locality be experienced? Just by raising up, naming the conditioning that's here, that gives a bit of a perspective on it. Just to note, this is the feeling of here-ness. Everything seems to happen here. What does here really mean? According to the particular interests or areas of experience that seem useful to explore, we can pick up any of these different sets of dimensions and assumptions, preoccupations. Look at them, explore them. Whether it's location, a feeling of here-ness, time, identity, language, even number, we might think mathematics is the ultimate, absolute, fixed language of the universe. Is it? What is a number? What does equals mean? What is addition, subtraction? We say one, two, three. One what? Two whats? Three whats? Number, mathematics, these are also creations of the mind. They signify patterns in the universe that can be observed and have a certain orderliness to them. But what is a number? Absolutely, completely. So all these different areas of conditioning can be explored, challenged. Look and see what the mind takes for granted. And as Lumpur Cha put it in his conundrum, his puzzle he would put to people. If you can't go forwards, you can't go backwards, you can't stand still, where can you go? That kind of puzzle is similarly challenging the assumptions that we make. I exist in this physical place, passing through time. If you can't go forward, you can't go backwards, you can't stand still, where can you go? The Buddha Dhamma is not to be found in moving forwards, nor in moving backwards, nor in standing still. Identity doesn't apply. Time doesn't apply. Location doesn't apply. Language, number, cause and effect, none of these fundamentally apply. Well, the development of insight, Vipassana meditation, is built around noticing, being aware of these different patterns of conditioning, bringing attention to them, challenging them, letting go, letting those habits, those preoccupations, let them dissolve, not to be replaced by another belief or another object to cling to, but to allow that quality of awareness, this knowing faculty of the heart, to be unobstructed, unbiased, unlimited. To know its own nature as formless, timeless, non-personal, unlocated, outside of cause, above effect. This is what Lumpur Cha would call the place of non-abiding. This is the opportunity that's here to allow the heart to awaken to its own nature. Unborn, unoriginated, unconditioned, unformed. Timeless, non-personal, ever-present.